to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Luke chapter number 4, I'm going to pop the clutch. Are you ready to go? Amen. We're going to go so fast tonight, slobber's going to fly. You ever seen a car going down the road with a dog hanging, with a dog so a head sticking out the window? Well, I'm not calling you a dog. I'm just simply saying we're going to go fast. Luke chapter 4, verse number 13, and this is the context of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. It talks about just this one verse I want to look at. Let me get it to myself. Let me find the right page here. Luke 4:13. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. That season part is what God started talking to me about on Monday morning, and I want to talk to you about it. All of us go through seasons of life where we're really being opposed of the enemy. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
We all go through that. It's not necessarily a lack of faith to go through that. How many of you know it might not be because you're doing something wrong? Amen. It's not doubt or unbelief for you to go through a test or trial. It might be because you're doing something right. But you're right. On the other hand, we all go through these times. How many of you know the man of faith, tell your neighbor, that's you and me, man or a woman, man, you know, mankind, man of faith, he's victorious in the middle of the test and trial. When Satan's opposing him, just because Satan's opposing you doesn't mean you're defeated.
That's right.
Defeated means you give up. You quit and you give in and say, well, I guess what the enemy's saying is so. No, when you're still standing, you're still victorious. I said, when you're still standing, you're still victorious. And so the better you are at expressing your victory in the middle of Satan's opposition, the quicker the season will pass. I said, the better you are expressing victory in the middle of that. You can have a lot of things opposing you and harassing your mind, but yet, right on the other hand, you're still expressing your joy in believing. The Bible talks about joy in believing. You're expressing the victory, and the better you are at that, the quicker it'll pass. I like to get through things quick, don't you? And your victory over the seasons of opposition is not by drawing back. It's not by dodging the opposition, trying to avoid, oh, I see a test or a trial there, I think I'll go this way. It's by just going straight towards it, through it. Through it. Tell your neighbor, through it. That's where you're going. You're going through it. And so your faith needs to have a press about it. And just keep a steady persistence in the middle of tests and trials. And bear down on your goal and what you're standing in faith for. It might be just to be free from condemnation, whatever. But yet, right on the other hand, just keep on pressing into the Word. A lot of times people don't, they have the idea that because they're experiencing resistance, they have the idea that they're what they're believing God for must not be from God. You know what I'm talking about? They think if it was really from God, they wouldn't be experiencing such resistance. Well, God must not want me to have it. I wouldn't be experiencing all this resistance. The resistance is not from God.
That's right.
The adversary is, if you look up the word adversary, is someone arrayed against you. There is somebody arrayed against you, and it's not God. It's Satan. I'm going to get to something here in a minute, but just hang with me. And he's the one that seeks to hinder your forward movement in the things of God. And so, and into the blessings of God. But something's not wrong just because you're experiencing that opposition. These seasons do not indicate that you are a failure, nor do they indicate you're doing something wrong, nor do they indicate necessarily that you're doing something right. You can be in seasons of test and trial because you're doing something right, or you can be in it because you're doing something wrong. In other words, we don't determine these things by whether we're having hardship or not. We determine them by the Word of God and our own conscience, our own spirit, and our fellowship with God. You understand what I'm talking about? So don't look to your circumstances to determine whether you're being opposed, you know, because somebody could say, well, you're going through all this because you're out of the will of God, or you're going through all this because you're in the will of God. And, which one is it, you know? You know that in your heart. You know you're standing before God in your own heart. I said, you know you're standing in your own heart. And so, but what I want to talk to you about tonight is not these seasons or how to use your faith in these seasons of opposition. You know what I mean? Because we've talked about that many, many times here at church. We talk about that a lot. How to stand in faith, what it means to walk by faith, even whenever, you know, the hot breath of unbelief is being breathed down your neck, if you know what I mean by that. We've talked about a lot of that. And a lot of those times, in those times, we are standing in faith because we have to. Yeah. To survive, to make it through another day. You know?
Yes,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
I want to talk to you tonight about what to do with your faith in the seasons of no opposition. You might say, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, go with me to 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. And I'm answering somebody that asked this question recently. And I intended to email them, but I'm answering them in the service. But the Spirit of God started dealing with me. I was going to email it to this person, but the Spirit of God dealt with me. No, just preach it because I want the whole church to hear this.
Amen.
I'm like, okay. So that's the direction that the Lord gave me. So that's why we're doing this. So here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 14, are you ready to go? I got some things I got to get out. Let's just start reading in verse 1. It talks about a certain king named Abijah, I believe is how you pronounce it. He slept with his fathers. That means he died. And they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Underline that, quiet for 10 years. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, but he took not away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek to do the law and the commandment. And also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Underline, was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah. Underline the word built. Built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. Underline the land had rest. And he had no war, underline no war, in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Underline, given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build, underline build, these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord, underline, we have sought the Lord our God, and we have sought him, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. Underline that. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And then it talks about his army in verse 8. Then in verses 9 through about the end of the chapter, it talks about a battle that happened, a huge army that came against him. And he sought God what to do and overcame this huge army. It was much bigger than they were. And then if you read, I won't take the time to read chapters 15 and 16, but in 15, the beginning of 15, the Spirit of God came upon a prophet, and he went to meet Asa. And basically he said, you'll have this rest and live in this place of victory if you continually seek the Lord. And so Asa even got encouraged, even more encouraged, to seek God. And he even put his mother out of being queen because she had an altar in a grove into another god. I mean, that's dedication whenever you say to family, you're out because, you know, so he's serious. He's seeking God with all his heart. And he made some mistakes. You can read it there. He made some mistakes of the head. But how many of you know you can be perfect in your heart and make some mistakes of the head? There's two ways you can live. You can be perfect. You can cross every T and dot every I, you know, spiritually speaking, do everything in the Word, but your heart's not right. And you'll miss a lot in God. But you can have a right heart, be missing some things you don't understand, and God will honor that much more than the man who was perfect in everything that his heart wasn't right.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, that's a whole other sermon. But here's what I wanted you to see. If you go, we won't take the time to read it, but if you go down there, after he won that victory over that great army there 10 years into his kingship, he had another about 26 years, roughly, maybe 25, 26 years, something like that, of peace. That's very unusual for kings in those days. They used to go to battle every spring just because the petunias were coming up. Time to go to war, you know. That's basically the way they lived back then.
All right.
Go find somebody, try to take their city, you know.
Yeah, all right.
But anyway, so for basically, between other than one battle, he had 36 years of peace. Almost unheard of. 36 years of peace. No wars, in other words, except for one battle. All right. And so, but then after 36 years, another army came against him. And he said, you can find this in chapter 16. I won't read it all, but another army came against him. And when that army came against him, he said, I don't want to go to battle. He said, I got all this money. I'm going to send this money to King Syria, the king of Syria, and have him fight this battle. And so he paid to get out of a problem. How many of you know what I'm talking about? He'd rather than trust God, seek God like he had been doing. Somewhere along the line, he got lazy. Somewhere along the line, his faith got flabby. You know what I mean by flabby? And he got lazy in faith and decided to just buy his way out of a problem. And another prophet showed up. They defeated this army that he paid for. They defeated his enemy, but a prophet showed up and said, okay, let's go to this chapter. I mean, in this verse, chapter 16, verse number, you can write down 7 through 9, but I'm going to just read 9. This is a prophet. He came and he said, because you didn't seek the Lord like that other time when that huge army came, he said, you're going to have trouble now. He said, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through over the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Henceforth, or herein thou hast done foolishly, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And he only lived 3 more years. Well, let me see, 30, let's see here. I believe it was maybe 5 more years. I think it was 5 more years, something like, wasn't very long. And he had wars. Hello? Well, are you still with me tonight? I got a lot on the inside. You going to let me get it out? What do you do in seasons of rest? Notice, go back there to chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles. Notice those verses 1 through 7. It talks about the rest that he had because they kept seeking God and doing what he said. And because of that, they got into this space of time where there weren't all these battles. There wasn't a battle after battle after battle like sometimes we have been through. Anybody been through just one thing after another? I got to stand here and I got to stand here and I'm just trying to survive. But what I wanted you to see here is that when this situation, King Asa, they got to the place because of seeking God, they didn't have all those battles anymore. And they had just a lot of time of rest. But in that season, notice that King Asa, at least at the beginning, notice in verses 6 here in 2 Chronicles 14, verses 6 and all the way down through 7, it mentions several times. Actually, if you read chapter 15 and 16, it mentions it over and over again where God gave them rest.
Yeah, yeah.
God gave them rest. And it didn't just say they sat back and partied. Notice what it said in verse 6 there. The land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given them rest. And he, verse number 6 at the beginning says, he built. I said he built. I said he built. And verse 7 again talks about him building. In other words, he wasn't in a mode of faith of battling, but he didn't sit down on his faith.
Yeah, come on.
He switched the emphasis and the direction of his faith. Rather than battling, now he's building. But he didn't quit using his faith. You know, we are either going to have to do battle with the enemy. I'm not talking about fighting him because he's already defeated. But I'm talking about the things he brings against us, trying to get us to back out and quit.
Yeah, come on.
I'm talking about doing the fighting the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
Whenever the good fight of faith means casting down the thoughts that he says to quit or you know, this is the word of God isn't true and so forth and so on, all those things. There's seasons where he's opposing you with all of that. But if you'll stand fast, keep walking in faith and keep coming and answering the bell, so to speak, and keep coming at that, you'll come into a season of rest. Do you believe that? You'll come into a season of rest. And you should have no condemnation for that. Because God has that for you. I said no condemnation for that. where it's not like just every dollar you have has to go towards the bills and you don't have a dollar for a hamburger or to go out on a date with your wife or something. You walk by faith and you answer, you develop your faith on the battle side. Which, listen, when you first start walking by faith, Satan is going to oppose you big time at the beginning. I just said something huge. He's going to oppose you big time at the beginning. At the beginning. Somebody said, why am I going all through all this? Because Satan's trying to see if he can get you out while you're just getting started and before you learn anything. My wife and I had intense things coming against us starting in the ministry. But we've been in a season of not doing as much battling. And that's okay. But it's not okay to lay down the faith and say, well, let's just sip lemonade spiritually. Lean back on the hammock of life and get flabby with our faith. No, we just switched from battling to building. Are you still out there? God showed me this truth years ago about this whenever I saw this story about King Asa, that he didn't, at the beginning now, at later on, he must have gotten lazy. But at the beginning, because he hired that army and a prophet showed up and said, now you're not seeking God again. And so, but anyway, at the beginning, he was constantly using his faith to increase. Now, you can say it this way, advancing the kingdom, whether it was through a battle or through a build. You with me? We are never to get lazy. In other words, whenever we come into a season of rest, is not the time to let our guard down. It's not the time to let our guard down. Excellence in faith means I'm going to say some things. I'm just getting started now tonight. Excellence in faith means what the enemy is doing is not our inspiration to walk by faith. Some of it. Okay, let me say that again. Let me say that again. Excellence in faith means I get my inspiration to walk by faith from deciding I am a doer of the word, not because I have to survive.
Yes, amen. That's good. That's good. Amen.
You know, whenever there's enemies coming against, battles coming, kings coming against you with armies, you gotta do believe God and seek God to survive and act on the word to survive. But when there's no armies coming against you, you could get lazy. Listen, the Lord spoke very strong with me about this. Are you ready to hear it? Let me tell you why the Lord's talking to us about this. I'll tell you why. You want to know why? Because more and more of us are going to come into these seasons of rest because the way we have sought God intensely for the years that we have and decided we're doers of the word and I'm going to answer the bell at every single thought that opposes me against God's word, and we're doers of the word, and we get into we've gotten ourselves into the place we decide we're going to live this way the rest of our lives. And because of that intense decision, listen, and our decision to walk in the word, we're going to come out into some places more and more of us are going to come out into some places where we wouldn't have to walk by faith anymore, we think. Natural circumstances don't say we have to walk by faith just to make it through another day, just to survive. Are you there? I said, are you there? We have gotten to some of us are getting more and more to this place to where we've decided this is the way I'm going to live for the rest of my life. And a lot of times when the enemy sees that, he's like, I was trying to take them out before they even get to that commitment, before they learn how to walk by faith. I was trying to take them out. I'm going to, just like Jesus in the wilderness, the Satan left him for a season, Luke 4. There's times whenever Satan, after intense bombardment, will leave you alone and you got a season of rest. What you do in that season has everything to do with how you're going to end up.
Yes, sir.
Just as much to do with how you're going to end up as what you did in the time of battling. I said it has just as much to do with it. Listen, I want excellence in my life regarding my faith. And excellence means I have made a choice to maintain a press in faith even when I don't have to. Because the just, let me see if I'm quoting this right. Tell me if this is the way the word says. I think the word says, there's something in the word that says the just shall do something. I think it's get bailed out by faith, I think. Is that what it says? Get out of the test and trial by faith. Huh? The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? Good times, bad times. Opposition, no opposition. Test and trials, no test and trials. Things are going good, got money in the bank, everything's happy, marriage is good. I mean, you're getting things paid off, or you have things paid off, and you got extra. Glory to God, hallelujah. Woo, everything's honky-dory. Listen, at times like that, a different kind of test shows up. You are being tested. That is a test, but it's a different kind of test. I said it's a different kind of test. You understand what I'm talking about? Although Asa at one time kept his faith ready through exercising it in a season of rest to build, evidently he got lazy eventually because he had no opposition and he just refused to keep reaching to advance the kingdom. See, what we're to be doing, whether battling or building, we're to be advancing the kingdom. I said we're to be advancing the kingdom. We're to have a press to our faith. I said, we're to have a press to our faith. Hallelujah. A press means we don't get lazy. You understand what I'm talking about? Because that's what Asa apparently did, and God sent him a prophet trying to get him back on track because God was good. He wanted to save him from losing out and having all these wars. Amen. He trusted his money to buy himself out of a problem rather than God. See, when you could just do something in the natural without seeking God because you got the means. You used to seek God every time, but now you don't have to. Excellence will keep on seeking God every time.
That's good.
Because we walk by faith.
That's really good.
And God might not say, okay, just pay it forward or whatever. He might say, give that listen to me. Are you ready for excellence? I'm saying he might. I'm not saying he will. He might say to you, I want you to take whatever it would have cost you to get out of that problem, and I want you to sow that to something, some work of God or something in the church. I want you to sow it towards something and believe me for the harvest to take care of that.
Amen.
That's using faith whenever you wouldn't even have to.
That's right. That's so good.
You could just be lazy spiritually and just boom, 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 buy your way out. But then get flabby. How many of you know what I mean by flabby? Amen. And so we've often ministered here at church about times of opposition, how to deal with that. Let's talk about these seasons of rest. When everything's going well, there's really no challenges, and the money's good, relationships are good. Praise God, pastor even is happy with me. And I mean, everything's wonderful. Wonderful. I mean, I got rain on my garden and everything's good. I mean, just, amen. I was glad for the rain last night, in case you're wondering. But whenever that's all going good, the question's been asked to me, is what I'm experiencing the abundant life God has ordained for me, or is it apathy? In other words, so this person asked, I'm in a place where I used to deal with all kinds of things coming against me, and I had a lot of battles going on, and now I've gotten into this place where things are going great, and I'm a little reluctant to settle into it. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? And I, whenever this question was asked, I knew exactly what they were talking about, because when I came into this season of rest we've been in, I understood that sentiment. I understood, like, oh Lord, you know, no, I've been in my armor for so long, you know. Every thought, every almost day is just dealing with stuff and answering things and seeking first the kingdom and staying consecrated to the call and whenever it just seemed like it was being opposed so much. And then we came into a season where it just seemed like we're not being opposed. And I wondered myself, is this just the way God wants me to live, or is this I'm just getting lazy here? Yeah. Am I not pressing in enough that where Satan's opposing me anymore? I started wondering those same things. And what I'm sharing tonight is some of the things he taught me. Somebody said, well, I'm not there yet. Well, apparently the Lord expects some of us are going to get there more and more because he's having me talk about this. So is the absence of pressure, the question is, from the enemy a sign that I'm not pressing in using my faith actively? And am I being lulled into a spiritual apathy kind of thing? And I understand that question. How many of you understand that question? Now, there can be a couple of things happening when Satan's really opposing you. He can be opposing you because you're still learning and you're just there's just a lot of things you don't know, so he's really trying to knock you out before you learn.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You understand? Another thing he can be opposing you for is because at the beginning of your walk with God by faith, how many of you remember when you first started coming to Spirit of Faith Family Church? Anybody remember the opposition against that? I remember because my prayer life was much more intense for many people in the congregation. I mean, I'm minding my business and boom, a spirit of prayer falling on me. Oh, Jesus, Brendan. Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry I put you through so much.
No, I'm just picking on him because him the Lord loveth, the pastor picketh on, you understand? that's a verse. I'm looking for it. It's somewhere. But you know, There's attacks at the beginning, and Satan's trying to knock us out before we even get started. You know, a little oak tree that's not even barely gotten started, that's much easier to get uprooted than a huge tree that's been there for 100 years, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Satan knows that. So he's going to oppose you strong at the beginning. So people ask the question because they know that they know what it's like to have that hot breath of unbelief breathe down their neck. They know that the just shall live by faith. And they know that without faith it's impossible to please God. They know that whatever's not of faith is sin. And they seem like they've gone through a season of just living every day and every moment by faith. But now they're not in that season. And they're surviving just fine. And they hesitate to sort of settle into this comfortable, you know, no opposition. And if they're not fighting, they kind of feel condemned, like maybe they're not doing something right. Must not be really living for God. And so can you understand what the question is? I don't know if anybody's experienced much of this, but what I'm going to talk to you, some of you tonight here are in seasons of battle. Some of you aren't in seasons of battle. And either one doesn't mean you're doing something right or something wrong. Am I making any sense? But neither is a place to coast in faith. Find something, in a season of rest, find something to do to stretch.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Well, that went over not quite like I thought it would. Some of you are kind of thinking, oh, really? I was wanting maybe just to eat Cheetos spiritually and drink lemonade. The just shall do what by faith?
Live
by faith. Live by faith. Hello? Now, a lot of times whenever people come into these seasons of rest, it's because of a season of, they've sought God previously in another season strong. I said they've sought God in another season strong. And sometimes it's a season of years of learning to walk by faith and learning to know God and learning to put him first and learning to not give in to what they see and learning to answer the thoughts that come against them and all these things that walking by faith includes. And because of that season of intense learning where Satan was coming against them, trying to knock them out, they come into this season of rest. That's the very reason they've entered into the season of rest. Am I making any sense? I said, that's the very reason. And because you decided to be a doer of the word, you've entered into this place. Amen. This quiet time in your life. We were able to enjoy some things and rest and not have a battle every single day. And maybe you got some extra money in the bank and, you know, You've learned to walk in love in your home, and you're not having strife every 3 days. And you know what I'm talking about. And so you're coming into a season of rest. Hallelujah. Are you glad that your whole life's not a battle, 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 battle? Times of rest are seasons and times to build. I said they're seasons to build. You should have no condemnation to enter into a season of rest. Amen? But times of rest are not times for you to let your guard down. Let me tell you why. Because there's a couple of reasons why. Two reasons why. Number one. Satan's reloading. He's reloading. Even though he's backed away, there will come another season. Somebody said, don't prophesy that over me. I don't have to. The Bible also already said, in this world you will have tribulation. Count it all joy, my brethren, if you fall into diverse temptations. Is that what it said? No, when. When. James 1:2, when you fall into diverse temptations. He didn't say if, he said when. In other words, just mark it down. It's coming. It's a coming. That's not something to be afraid of. It's just something to be sober about. Be aware that a season of rest might not last until you go to heaven. Just might not. But that's one reason. So number one, a reason to not, take those times and not let your guard down is, number one, Satan's reloading. But number two is that God is going to start calling upon your faith eventually to take you into another level in him. And the next step of his plan for you. And it's going to require greater faith than you've ever walked in before. But guess what will not be ready if you're lazy in that time of rest? When I say lazy, I'll describe that in a few minutes more. But what will not be ready is your faith. So whenever he wants to take you into the next thing he has for you, he'll see your faith isn't ready, and so it'll delay God's plan. Yeah. All right. You understand?
Yes, sir.
We don't want to delay God's plan. Amen? So there's no condemnation for entering into seasons of rest, but neither should we let our guard down. Amen. Times of rest are still times of walking by faith. Even though in our mind, we don't have to. Now, that's not right thinking, nor is it excellence. But in our mind, sometimes our unrenewed portion of the mind says, well, we really don't have to walk by faith now. Yippee. Praise the Lord. But know the just shall live by faith. And our inspiration by living by faith is not what the devil's doing. You know what I mean when I say that? In other words, well, we're going to live by faith now because the devil's really trying to. No, we should not. That should not be our inspiration to walk by faith. The word should be our inspiration to walk by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So times of rest are times of building yourself up and preparing for the next season of opposition or the next step of God's leading you into to reach for more in faith than where you are right now. How many of you know there's always more in God? What I'm preaching tonight is excellence in faith.
Yes, sir.
Not just having a bailout by faith. Amen? Some of you are going to look back months ahead and you're going to say, oh, where's that sermon? Where's that sermon?
Yeah.
God's preparing us for some things. I can just sense in my spirit there's some things coming for some of you because of doing the battle. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're preparing for either the next season of opposition or the next thing God has us to reach for in him. And those who keep a spirit of faith about them during the seasons of rest, they live in a constant state of preparedness. Because we're to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Always. And so the Apostle Paul said in Philippians, in the Amplified, Philippians 4:13, I am ready for anything and equal for anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. In other words, Paul's saying, I stay ready. I stay ready. That's the way you and I are to live. Live ready. How many of you know whenever the tests came in high school or elementary school or college, an hour before the test was not the time to get ready. It's best to just live ready. How many of you remember those pop quizzes? I don't know how many you had, but my English, Miss Weiser was good on pop quizzes. And I learned to stay ready because of that. Well, the devil's good at pop quizzes. You understand? He'll bring one up. So stay ready. Live ready. For the devil's attack? Well, sure, yes. Live ready for that. But how many of you know, live ready because God might make a demand on your faith at any time. In fact, this is the reason some folks God doesn't go to regarding some things. Because he knows they're not ready. And that's the reason why they don't keep progressing. Because they've been flunking in first grade. How could he ever expect to get them up into third, fourth, fifth, or wherever? Because they just don't respond. They're like, I'm good enough. Lord, just leave good enough alone. Everything's good. Everything's fine. Just leave. I'm happy. Lord, just leave me. Why are you dealing with me about this or that? Because he's trying to get you to build.
Yeah.
You've done battle in the kingdom. Now do some building for the kingdom.
Amen.
This is better preaching than your amen, and I do know that. Amen. I'm not saying live in condemnation for entering into a season of rest. You're hearing the way I'm saying this. I'm just simply saying God has more for you, and it's going to require your faith to get into it. Do something to keep stretching on purpose. Keep the natural props kicked out from under your faith. And keep your faith totally dependent on God and His Word at all times. That's excellence, and that's having a faith that's ready for anything that God might say. I need somebody to co-labor with me on something. Who's ready? Where's somebody that's been preparing, and they're not maxing their faith in a battle right now. They got enough on their plate, but they're in a season of rest. And in that season of rest, they're building.
Amen.
Building their faith. Ah, here's one. I go to them. They're ready. I can get it done through them.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Ah, yeah. I like that thought. Do you like that thought of being ready, being usable to God? I like that thought. There's a danger in the season of rest, and that is being lulled into a lifestyle of not reaching in faith. And that will disqualify us from being used to go into further things in the things of God. And I'll say this. Leader, if you are going to be a part of a church where there's leadership who keeps stretching and reaching in faith, it would be good to practice the same lifestyle of faith that they live, or else you'll start getting left behind.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, we don't want to do that. I don't want to be left behind those that God is having me connect with. Amen. I don't want to be disqualified because I'm not keeping up with my faith. Mm-hmm. I said, hallelujah. I'm talking about those are opportunities. Those rest seasons are opportunities to build. Keep working it out. Keep reaching. Keep stretching for all that God has for you. In other words, you've heard me say something. Sometimes you've heard me say that I lost track of the years now. I don't want to misquote the years. It's been a number of years, 7, 8 or more, I think. But where The compensation board here at the church has given us more salary and so forth and so on, but we haven't taken it. Not because I don't believe in prosperity. It's just that I don't want to get lazy. Oh, well, I got that big coming in, and I'll just, get lazy. I haven't taken it for that many years or whatever it's been because I don't want to. It's unsettling inside of me, inside of my spirit. You know what I'm talking about? It's unsettling inside of me, and subconsciously I know I'm going to need to develop my faith. Some of you are looking at me real strange. Like it's a foreign thought to you. It should not be a foreign thought to you. I'm not telling you to tell your boss not to give you a raise. I'm just simply saying don't start depending on something. Don't switch your faith from God to your paycheck. Hallelujah. Subconsciously, I just knew I need to develop my faith, and I'm uncomfortable coasting. I'm just not getting the feedback that see, this is passing the test in the season of rest. Not being comfortable just coasting in your faith. Hallelujah. It bothers me inside if I'm not talking, and I'm not talking about living in fear of the devil's attack. Or in condemnation for not having a struggle. I don't have a victim struggle complex. You understand? I'm not talking about that. But it just, it's uncomfortable. The thought is uncomfortable to me to not have my faith in a condition where God says, okay, you're ready, where I'm not ready when God says, okay, now I want you to move into this. I want you to use your faith for that. The thought of God asking something of me and my faith not being ready, that's uncomfortable to me. Where God can't call upon me and he has to skip over me and find somebody else. I don't like that thought. I don't like that thought. I'm uncomfortable with that thought. I'm uncomfortable with being passed over. I'm uncomfortable with staying in first grade or second grade or wherever I am. I'm uncomfortable. I want to grow. I want to reach. I want God to say, well done. I said, I want him to say, well done. I may not be battling with my faith in this season that I'm in, but I am building with my faith. I'm building my faith, and I'm building the kingdom. We're using our faith here at Spirit of Faith Family Church for something we wouldn't have to. Right now, we're using our faith to pay this building off. Somebody said, we don't really have to. But yeah, really, for the plan of God, really, we do have to. Because he instructed us to do it. Because he sees what's coming and what we need. And yeah. And so I'm uncomfortable just, you know, well, we wouldn't have to do that and kind of flow in the way we are. We're 6 months in almost, no, 5 months in, and about 12,000 in that project. Previous years, we've done 160,000 a year. I think maybe we're coasting.
Okay, come on, sir.
We wouldn't have to.
Come on now.
I said we, don't look at, I said we. Well, hallelujah. You say, everything's good. I got money. Well, okay. Well, how about stretching here?
Yeah.
Stretching. Yeah. Reaching. Yeah. See, we are where we are because we don't like what it puts on our flesh. We don't like the flesh and the mind being uncomfortable to commit to something that is beyond where we know where we're going to get the money from.
Yeah.
See, you're in a season of rest, and if you don't stretch, it's because the flesh and the mind doesn't like the uncomfort, and we all know what that's like. Oh, now, Pastor, you've left preaching and gone to meddling. Well, sometimes we got to bring it down home. Yeah, we got to bring it down home because people hear it and they just hear a sermon. They don't apply it to them now where we are, where we are in faith as a church. Blam, bam, bam, bam. Yeah. And so now we're just kind of helping you realize, okay, maybe it's more of us than we realize. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to stay ready, keep myself sharp. You lose skill when you're not constantly exercising something. That's true in the natural realm, whether it be sports or whether it be engineering or some job or something like that. Anything you don't keep working and exercising, you lose skill at. And so we need to keep on exercising and keep on working out through constant practice. Amen? It keeps us ready, keeps us sharp. Whether the devil brings something up or God brings something up, he wants us to reach for. Hallelujah. I'll guarantee you, the more you keep ready, the more he'll ask of you. Because he's got few people in the body of Christ that live that way. So when he finds somebody who's ready to you know, have faith, will obey kind of thing. He'll go, hey, tap you. You're. And so those kind of people keep increasing. They keep growing in faith. They keep getting more and more and more in the things of God. And others get left behind and people wonder why. I want to have the spiritual wherewithal to where God can use me anytime for whatever he asks. Hallelujah. Going to the next thing God has for me. Praise the Lord. And so it comes through practice. Practice not just living by sight. Practice not just living where you're comfortable. I'm talking about the flesh and the mind. They get comfortable. Well, everything's good. The bills are being paid. Even paying credit cards off. Praise the Lord. That's great. Got them all paid off. Wonderful. Nothing, no condemnation. That's the way it ought to be.
Right.
However, don't get comfortable now after you got everything's good. Right. Keep reaching.
Keep
Keep reaching. Is that what you're hearing tonight? Keep reaching. Hallelujah. It's you can just practice living by, or excuse me, you can't just practice living by sight over and over and over again for months and months, and then switch on your faith quickly and easily when a battle arises or when God calls upon your faith for a project He wants you to use your faith for. Amen. Your heart's too dull if you haven't been sharp practicing. Amen. Listen, if you're going to have a pickup game of basketball, and you can choose between maybe Brother Matt or Brother Carlos. They're playing a lot. They play, practice a lot. They just enjoy. That's their exercise. At least that's what I've heard. But, and you have a choice of picking one of them or me. Let me give you a clue. Pick one of them.
Yeah,
because I haven't been. I wasn't even interested in basketball in high school. Right? Why would it be any different for God? When he needs somebody to do something for him. He's going to look over all the ones that complained and, you know, sat around their fat, sassy self and brought up all the problems about the leadership of the church. Won't tithe, won't obey, not pulling. They're sitting on the back of the wagon creating weight rather than pulling with their faith. He's going to look over fat and sassy. He's going to find somebody that's slim and trim and they're a racehorse for Jesus in faith. Amen. Each new level requires a new level of faith. It requires a new level and degree of resisting the wrong thoughts that come, a new level of discipline, focus, persistence in pressing into the Word, casting down imaginations, casting down all the worry and everything that comes, and staying in peace. Remember Matthew 7, 24 through 27, it talks about the different kinds of the one guy who prepared by laying a foundation and the other one just built on the sand and the storm came. One on the foundation stayed and the other one fell. See, that story was not about the storm, because the storms of life come to all of us. That story is what was done before the storm. That's what that story is about. And that determines whether we stand in these things. It's all about preparation. As you develop in faith through staying put in hard places, like I said, Satan will oppose you there at the beginning the most. The kinds of tests you go through begin to change because Satan's strategies change. Your greatest test is no longer one of lack. Now it's one of abundance. Maybe you're learning something you never knew tonight. You might be. I hope you are. Maybe you did know it. Maybe I hope you did know it or whatever, wherever you are. But there is a different kind of test that comes during abundance. The test in that is, what are you going to do with your faith when you don't need to walk by faith? How good your prayer life going to be when you don't need to pray just to survive and just keep from going crazy? Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
How much are you going to press into the things of God? Are the things of God still first? You still seek first the kingdom of God when you wouldn't really need to in your mind. I mean, in your mind. It's not reality, but in your mind. Amen. And what are you going to do with that extra money? Does God get more? I'm not saying that you have to give it all to him. I'm just simply saying, what do you do with extra? Does he get more? Are you going to switch to your faith in your money and your salary and your investments? Here's something the Lord said to me one time. Faith is for rich people too. You know what a rich person is? Somebody has more than enough. More than enough. But faith is not just for people that are struggling. It's for people that have what it. Kick the props out from under, from putting your faith in something other than God. Amen. Never settle for the status quo. There's always more in God. Reach. God needs people of faith, and I mean the kind that reaches and stretches, to do what he wants to do in this era.
Yes,
practice it. Live by it. Whenever there's seasons of battle and seasons of building, practice it. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all are kind of unhooking already. I can tell. No, but in the spirit, some of you are like, I can tell. I'll go as far as you'll let me. Developing in faith includes developing a press. You understand what I mean by that? We're growing and developing. Our faith grows. The Bible said our faith grows exceedingly. It grows by developing a press. And it's to be a decision we make because we choose to be a doer of the word, not a decision to press. I mean, a decision to press because, you know, Satan keeps opposing us and we're battling. Amen. So a congregation's got to stay, keep pace and in unity if leadership has a spirit of faith. Some education tonight. If people choose not to press when leadership is still pressing, they won't be able to keep pace with leadership, and eventually they'll be disqualified and unusable. Amen. Unusable to the church, unusable to God, and because they want to live in a coasting pattern. Now, I'm not opposed to people retiring or anything like that, but I am opposed to retiring and then coasting. Amen. Retiring and coasting. My dad has made more finance. I'm talking, this is just one area. Finances is one area of faith. There's a lot of different areas of faith. But my dad has made more financially after retirement than all those years of work.
Wow.
How about you and I? What are you planning to do in retirement?
Amen.
Well, I was going to spend it. Why? And stop producing? And stop building the kingdoms? All those years of battling for that income, you got it in your hands. Now what are you going to do? Coast? Whoa, boy, some of you didn't like that. Anyway, not wrong to retire. Not saying you have to go to work every day. You get to the place you don't want to. Isn't that right? Nor should you have to. But God shouldn't be put on the back burner because, you know, now we don't have anything but retirement, you know, so. Well, that's a challenge. Hallelujah. Well, it's just so good right now. Well, is it all about you? It's all about you, huh? Just how good it is for you? How about stretching to get more, this revelation that's helped you so much, get it to more people in eastern Iowa?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You remember the Bible says he has no pleasure in them that draw back. You realize you could look at that a number of different ways. One would be just simply drawing back from the cutting edge of where our measure of faith is.
Yeah.
If I have faith to this level and I'm not to the cutting edge of that, God's not pleased with that. He wants me to stay up to the cutting edge. Get past the cutting edge and get over into the bleeding edge and the jagged edge. The feedback tonight is interesting. Live in the kind of way your faith is just, let me put it this way. Live in the kind of way your flesh and your mind are always uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know how much longer I can go tonight. That's if you want to stay usable to God. That's if you want to fulfill everything God has for you. Hallelujah. Your faith really only ever grows by keep stretching it. Somebody said, no, it grows by feeding it. No, that's only a small part. Feeding it and reaching to the bleeding edge of where you are in faith, stretching with everything you got. That's how it grows.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you're not stretching, you're actually going backwards.
Amen.
Not only do you stretch and reach, but you keep on pressing. So like Asa here, he got into this season, and at the beginning he apparently did that, but at the end he got lazy, and it cost him an early death and cost him wars. He got back into that season of battle. Isn't that right? Do you see where we're going tonight? Hallelujah. You realize that a pastor can't keep moving forward at a church that the congregation doesn't want to keep a spirit of faith about them. I'm not saying this congregation doesn't. I'm just simply saying, let's be encouraged in these seasons of rest to not let that happen to us.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise the Lord. And so by showing God, by also continuing to stretch in the seasons of rest, you're showing God that you can be counted on to keep your faith available to him. By not reaching and stretching in seasons of faith, you're showing God you can't be counted on. you disqualify from staying there. Does that make any sense?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. Faith is not just for bad times. It's for all times. It's for all times. It's for all people in all circumstances, whether required or not. That's what living by faith means. Praise the Lord. Whether required or not. That's excellence in faith. That's being a doer of the word. Hallelujah. Not just getting bailed out. But Philippians 3:13, Paul, like I said, he said, "I." Philippians 3:13 is in the Amplified. It says, Paul said, I strain forward for what lies ahead. Amen. That's in the Amplified, Philippians 3:13. So that's his mode. You think that mode of faith was the reason God was able to use him so much? Yeah. I think so. In fact, I know so. He constantly reached and stretched. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying we should be condemned for seasons of rest, but always be reaching is what I'm saying. Hallelujah. We don't have a guilt. We're not guilty because we're not in a battle. Yeah. Right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So since it's going so well, praise the Lord. The Bible says we are to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:23 in the Amplified said that because of the abundance of the labors, there was tremendous opposition against him. If you read 2 Corinthians 11, he talks about all the opposition, and he mentioned why in the Amplified in verse 23, because of the abundance of the labor. In other words, abundance of fruit bearing for the kingdom of God was one reason Satan was opposing him so much. So in seasons of rest, should we stop bearing fruit? No, we should continue to bear fruit. I said we should continue and build up so we can even bear more fruit. Is that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So he described this opposition encountered throughout this chapter, and he said it was because of the abundance of revelation. Of course, the abundance of labors for the kingdom of God. Of course, the lack of labor in the kingdom of God would be a reason then that Satan would leave people alone. Not saying that's the only reason. I'm just saying that's one reason. Because he's really already, they're saved. He can't do anything about that, but he will try to keep them from being fruitful in this earth. Hallelujah. Matthew 11:12 talks about the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. That's a word in the Greek. The word violence means to press. So it's saying the kingdom has darkness pressing against it, and those who press are going to get into it, and those who press are going to expand it.
Amen.
It takes a press, not just a sipping lemonade mentality, to keep expanding the kingdom of God. We ought to be constantly enlarging. Enlarging our faith, enlarging the kingdom, enlarging our giving, enlarging our faith. Everything, every area of life we should be enlarging. It's going to take a violence, though, so to speak, not against people, but against the opposition to keep pressing into that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Find something to do to stretch your faith if you're in one of these seasons of rest. Now, if you're maxed out just trying to survive every day, you don't have to find anything. You got plenty of things to do. But if you're in that season of rest, find something to do to stretch your faith. Don't just use your faith defensively. Use it offensively. Did you get that? Use it offensively. In other words, don't just try to protect just to survive, but go ahead and start taking ground for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Get radical about living by faith. It'll help you develop in faith much quicker. You'll be ready for enlargement. Amen. I would say that seasons of rest are seasons of testing just as much as seasons of opposition. It's just a different kind of test. You got to pass the test to get to the next grade. How many remember whenever you're in high school or elementary, you had to pass that grade to get to the next grade? And that's the way it is with God. Hallelujah. So press into the next thing God has for you by choice. Just by choice. Just by choice. Everything's going good. I don't want to be uncomfortable in my flesh. Well, just by choice, say, I'm going to stretch on this area of praying for the church more, giving more to this building fund campaign, doing something.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
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 Sometimes people say, you know, the seasons of testing have been the greatest seasons of spiritual growth for me. Well, we all understand that, except when you examine it, it's probably because we were forced by necessity to press into the things of God. Do you know you can go into the things of God by choosing to, just as well as you can by being forced to do it? I don't know about everybody, but I could tell sometimes in my life that the reason that those seasons were the greatest times of spiritual growth were just because the rest of the time I was being carnal. That's why. Wasn't pressing into prayer, walking the floor, speaking the word, resisting the thoughts. Didn't have to. Things are good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, yeah, praise the Lord, but keep on reaching. Praise the Lord. You don't want to stay in that small place spiritually that you're at right now. Now, when I say small, I mean compared to where God's taking you. Wherever you are right now is small compared to what God's plans are for you. I don't want to think about staying where I am spiritually right now. Amen. Having a spirit of faith means a violence that presses into things whenever you don't have to and says, God has bigger things for me. I'm reaching for them. I'm reaching for them. Every time we express faith, whether we do it because we're pressed out of necessity to do it or we just make a choice that I'm going to have an excellence in this season of rest and still stretch. Every time we express faith, we enlarge ourselves. We enlarge ourselves spiritually. We enlarge our capacity to stand in the whenever opposition comes against us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Go ahead and enlarge yourself. What do you say? I challenge you to keep enlarging yourself. Don't get stuck in a small place where it's all comfortable. Amen. Use your faith offensively, not just defensively. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you get anything out of that tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just settle the fact the rest of my life I'm going to walk by faith. Whether necessary or not, I'm going to walk by faith. Now, that's me. I'm a faith child of a faith God. Hallelujah. If you're not there tonight, then just be prepared to live that way even when your season comes where you don't have to.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You'll be glad in this season of rest, if you're in a season of rest, that you did choose that, because whenever Satan comes or when God says, I need somebody to do something for me, you'll be able to answer with the word and succeed in the middle of Satan's opposition. Because whenever you stretch, there's always opposition from Satan. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, when you get used to it and you know how he works and you know all his strategies and everything because you've been through it, you practice, you got all the dross out of your faith and you're good at it, then it's no big deal. You just take ground.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at sofffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.